Well, praise the Lord, people. So glad that we are out on a Sunday night on a snowy, slippery, blizzardy night. But you all are here to worship the King. We won't dilly-dally tonight. We'll move it right along. Let's open up our hymnals to 164. We'll get going with 164. And one of our old favorites, we don't even need a hymnal for this one.
My mother loves the song.
Yes, indeed. We will sing all four of 164. John Newton wrote the incredible words to Amazing Grace so long ago.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was
people, please be seated tonight, and what a blessing to know the sound of that amazing grace in our personal lives, how we need it. Well, glory to God, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight, and we'll sing again afterward, but at this time, without delay, because of the inclement weather tonight, so good to see you all on such a snowy evening. And we had to cancel a number of services this winter. It's been brutal. And I just got tired of it. And I said, Lord, let it snow, and I'm having it anyway. Praise the Lord. Let's, as you're turning to the book of Revelation tonight, Revelation chapter 19, we are back in our studies on the wife of Yahweh, and the Bride of Messiah. Tonight for the sound guys, part 5. And I do believe if we don't get raptured, we'll be able to finish this series of studies tonight. And of course, we had 3 weeks studying the wife of Yahweh, the elect nation Israel, of course, the wife of the Father. And we began last time with the Bride of Messiah, the church, the body of Christ, which is the wife of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So tonight, church, we've seen the first 2 stages in the development of the relationship between the church, which is the bride, and the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Messiah. So tonight we'll look at the third and fourth stages. There's four stages, as there was in the relationship of the wife of Yahweh. There were four stages. Ours a little different, though, because we never fell into the idolatry that the wife of Yahweh fell into. Not having the Holy Spirit, she didn't have the strength to overcome. We do. And tonight we come to stage three. But by way of review, the first stage was the espousal of the bride. That is the betrothal or engagement, which we found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Also, you find it in John chapter 3, verse 29. Then the second stage we saw last time was the process of preparation by sanctification and maturation of the bride, which we find in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25, 26, and 27. We find it in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 7. And that brings us tonight to the third stage, which is we have the espousal, we have the process of preparation, which we are now in. The third stage is the marriage ceremony itself. Now, go to Revelation chapter 19. The third stage of four is the marriage ceremony itself between the bride and the Messiah. Look with me in chapter 19 of Revelation. We'll begin reading at verse number 6, and we'll get into our message tonight. Verse 6, and John writes, the Revelator, by the Holy Ghost, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, beloved, here tonight, we have the wedding scene described in graphic detail. And notice that it takes place prior to verse 11, where the second advent occurs. The white great him that rode upon the white horse came down and crushed the enemies of God's people, Antichrist and his armies. Well, the marriage ceremony for us with the Lord Jesus will take place prior to that. So when we come back riding white horses with him, we will already have been wedded to him, okay, officially. Now, in order to fully comprehend what we're reading here in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, it is necessary first for us to understand the Jewish wedding customs of Jesus' day. I wasn't going to give you these, but I'm going to give them to you quickly. Because the Jewish wedding customs of the time of Christ are absolutely incredible when you compare them with Scripture. All right? The Jewish wedding system had four distinct stages, all of which can be clearly found in the relationship of the church as the bride of the Messiah. The first stage of the Jewish wedding ceremony, the Jewish marriage, was that of where the father of the groom made the arrangement for the bride and paid the bride price. Are you listening? The first stage would occur when the bride and the groom were very young. Therefore, there would be a long period of time before the actual marriage ceremony took place. They had to become adults first, amen? The father would choose the bride, the father of the groom. Oh yes, the second stage of the Jewish wedding custom was called the fetching of the bride. In this stage, listen, the groom would travel to the home of the bride in order to fetch her and take her to his home. Listen, the father of the groom was the one who determined the timing of when the fetching of the bride would occur. Also, it would not occur until after the groom had prepared a place for her to live in. Are you listening? Oh, it's good tonight. The third stage of the Jewish wedding was the actual marriage ceremony itself, to which only certain guests were invited to attend. The fourth stage of the Jewish wedding, and final, was called the marriage feast or the marriage supper. Okay? This wedding feast would last for 7 days. Now, scripturally, all four of these Jewish wedding customs can be clearly found in the Bible. First, the price paid for the bride is clearly seen in Acts chapter 20. Hold your place, we're coming back to Revelation. But travel with me to Acts chapter 20. Paul is at Ephesus, giving his farewell address to the Ephesian believers. He has a message for them, and within this message is couched an incredible truth that cannot be denied: the price of the bride. Look with me in Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse 28. Paul says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Wow! Here we find the price being paid for the bride, which is called the church of God in verse 28. And we find that it was purchased with God's own blood. You know what baby gets, where baby gets their blood from? The father. Baby always gets blood from the father, medical doctor will tell you. Secondly, the second stage of the Jewish wedding was the fetching of the bride. This can be clearly seen by going to 1 Thessalonians, a passage that is familiar to all of us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 13. I'm moving along tonight. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Those are Christians who've died and been buried. "That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." The whole bride has to attend the wedding, amen? "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, we Christians, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Here we clearly see the fetching of the bride, where it says the Lord himself comes to take us away. Amen? Oh, glory to God. Remember now, only the father of the groom could determine the timing of the fetching of the bride under Jewish wedding custom. So go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Oh, I just love how the Bible spells it all out in black and white and red at times. In Matthew 24, this passage couldn't be any clearer than Jesus made it. Look with me in Matthew 24 at verse 36. 24:36. Jesus says, words in red, "But of that day..." Time out, church. What day is Jesus pointing the believers to? Would it be the second advent or the rapture? It's the rapture, that's right. "But of that day..." You know, now, why do we know it's the rapture and not the second advent? Because here's the reason why, church. Listen carefully. The second advent, everybody on earth will know. As soon as the signing of the peace covenant, mark it down, from that day, 7 years to the day he will touch down on planet earth. Everybody's going to know the day that day. But this day, nobody knows. Look what he says. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know that the father, Jewish custom says that the father would not tell his son when he was going to have the arrange the ceremony until just a few days prior. He'd let him know at the last minute, you know. Son would be waiting. Oh, wait, can I get my bride? Can I get my bride? Not yet, son. Not yet. Not yet. And then when the father said go, he goes, right? Thirdly, the marriage ceremony itself. The marriage ceremony itself we read clearly in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Fourthly, 6, 7, and 8. The fourth custom was the marriage supper of the groom. It's clearly seen in Revelation 19. Look with me at verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, notice here in verse 9 that not everybody gets to go to the wedding feast. Only those who are invited. He says, blessed, happy are they which are called unto the marriage feast. Whoa, what a day that'll be. Now, the invited guests to the marriage feast are clearly spoken of in Scripture. They are two groups. First, the Old Testament saints. They are not part of the body of Christ. That's why they're guests at the wedding feast. You see it? All those believers who died in faith. Hebrews chapter 11, you've got a laundry list of them. They died believing God. They went to Abraham's bosom. They will be at the wedding feast. But they're not part of the bride. They're guests. The second group will be, listen, the tribulation period saints who get saved during the tribulation period. They reject the mark of the beast. Most of them are beheaded for their faith in Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments of God during the tribulation period. They are not part of the body of Christ. They're guests at the wedding feast. Now, these two groups will be resurrected after the second advent, not before. And while the marriage... Now, let me ask you a question, folks. Why is the Old Testament saints getting resurrected after the second advent? What do they have to do?
The dead in Christ rise first.
No, the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints, the Jewish saints. Why do they have to be...
To get their glorified bodies?
Yeah, to get their glorified bodies and to inherit something.
The land of Israel.
The kingdom. They have a kingdom that God promised 4,000 years ago now to a man named Abraham. And God always keeps his promises. Amen? So they've got to be resurrected to inherit that kingdom. Now, listen carefully. While the marriage ceremony takes place in heaven, yet the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place on earth at the outset of the millennial kingdom, the reign of Messiah over the whole world as King of Kings. And it will then have his queen. He will then have his queen to reign. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. This Bible is clear that you, beloved, as a member of the body of Christ and bride of Messiah, will co-reign with Jesus Christ. Man doesn't rule over his wife, you know. You don't have a bully whip and beat her into submission. If you do, there's something wrong. I got to have a talk with you. No, he loves her, right? And she loves him. And they dwell together. We will reign with Christ. The people who will be ruled over are the Jews and the Gentiles all over the world. But we are the bride. We have a special place, church. You don't want to be Jewish. You want to be a member of the body of Christ. Now, his queen will co-reign with him for 1,000 years. Go to Matthew 22. This particular wedding feast is spoken of clearly in Scripture. And it cannot be mistaken unless your theology is messed up, which we have a whole bunch of today in Christendom, quote unquote. Look with me in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. This is important. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, so a parable, as you know, is a short story which typifies or portrays a spiritual reality. Okay? Watch it. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for who? His son. We just read about this. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. and they would not come. Now, in verse 3, he's speaking of the Jews. The first invites of the gospel was to the nation of Israel. But look what it says, they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, wedding feast. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways. And one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, preachers, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. That's martyrdom. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. That is AD 70, folks. Titus and the Roman armies obliterated Jerusalem, killing 1.2 precious million Jews. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden, Jews, were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. What's the highways represent? Gentiles, nations of the earth, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. He says, don't disqualify anybody. Invite them all to come. And to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Some of us were very bad before we got saved. Some of us were good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Now that's a picture of the robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ gives us. And he said, I was baptized. No, he didn't. He said, I belong to First Baptist Church of Hooksett. No, he didn't. I put tithes in the plate. I went to the confessional booth. I prayed to Mary. No, he was speechless. Not a word. Not a word. Because the king is present. And he always speaks truth. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Right there we have people being cast into outer darkness at the commencement of the millennial kingdom. You see that? They can't enter. They can't attend the wedding feast, number one. Number two, they cannot enter into the millennial kingdom. Okay? Let's see it again. Matthew 25. And then we'll move on to our final point. Matthew 25. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Sound familiar? We just read about this in Revelation 19. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish, you know, folks, as I read this text, I just can't help but think about all of the religious people in the world today that are so foolish because they think their religion can get them an admittance into heaven, which is utter nonsense. They're foolish. And they took no oil with them. You see what they lack in verse 3? They don't have the Holy Spirit. Oil in the Bible always represents the Spirit of God. But the wise took oil in their vessels. You've got the Holy Spirit in your vessel. With their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried, he's tarrying right now, they all slumbered and slept. Folks, church, Christians are falling asleep today. The body of Christ is a mess. We're in Laodicea. We're lukewarm. We need to wake up and get busy for Jesus Christ. 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, yeah. And it's a second coming. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him, bride. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now notice in verse 7, they all thought they were going with the king, the bridegroom. They said, we're going to go too. No, you're not. Not so fast. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They had no light. No spiritual light. And listen, but the wise answered, saying, not so. You, Timmy, you cannot give the Holy Ghost to Kyle sitting behind you. If he wasn't saved tonight, and he needed the Holy Spirit, he needed to be born again, you could not give him the Holy Spirit.
pray the Holy Spirit on him.
You can pray for him to get saved, that's right. But you can't give him the Holy Spirit. Who can?
Jesus.
That's right. Only Jesus Christ. They're going to the wrong source for the oil. You see that in verse 9? But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. He says, take care of it yourself. Your mama can't do it for you. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the what? Marriage. To the marriage. Look at it. And the door was shut. Remember the ark in Genesis chapter 7? When Noah built that ark and those floods came down and he said, get in the ark, Noah. He took his family in there and all the animals in there. Who shut the door to the ark? Did Noah shut the door?
God did.
That's right, Tim. It's the Bible specifically spells it out. And God shut the door. Look what it says here in verse number 10. And the door was shut. Ooh. You know what it says there about Jesus Christ? He openeth and no man shutteth. He shutteth and no man openeth. You can't open the door that he shuts. I don't care who you are, devil. Verse 11. After we came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, church, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There's the rapture. And he says to you and I who are saved, who have the oil of the Holy Spirit, that we need to be watching for what? Rapture. We're watching. We're not watching for the second advent. We won't be here for that. I'm glad. We're watching for rapture time. Glory to God. All right. We've seen the espousal in the first stage. We've seen the process of preparation in the second stage, in which we are now. We've seen the marriage ceremony itself in the third stage. And finally, tonight, the fourth stage in the development of the relationship between the bride of Messiah and her bridegroom is this: the eternal abode of the bride. Go with me to Revelation 21. I want you to see, in closing, the eternal abode of the bride. Because in the Jewish wedding feast, in the Jewish wedding ceremony, the custom was that after the marriage supper, the marriage feast was completed, guess what? The groom would take his bride home to her permanent abode. Isn't this good? I mean, it's so clear, church. Look at this. Revelation 21, verse number 9. And there came unto me, John, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Wife. This is what we've been studying for the last 5 weeks, guys. Here it is. Put it all together. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Yeah, like about 30,000 feet up. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Old Testament church. On the three east gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. New Testament church. And he talked there with me. He had a golden reed to measure the city. It's New Jerusalem. And the gates thereof and the wall thereof. Folks, it's our eternal abode. It is going to be so glorious. And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof. Goes through all these measurements. 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. We had jasper. We have sapphire. Chalcedony. We have emerald. We have sardonyx. Sardius. Chrysolite. Beryl. Topaz. Chrysoprasus. We have jacinth. We have amethyst. And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. Pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Time out, church. Verse 22 makes it clear that our eternal abode in that celestial city is with God the Father and with God the Son and with God the Spirit in us. Wow. 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved. Notice verse 24 points to the new earth, which will be populated with nations of saved people. And they got to come up to visit our King, whom we are with. Look at it. 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. They can come and go. And the kings, but it's not their abode. Notice that. It's not their abode. It's our abode. They get to visit. Yeah. And the kings of the earth. Notice there's a new earth in verse 24. Look at it. They do bring their glory and honor into it. Yeah, so they bow down before our King. Kiss his feet and worship him. They will. And they will do it joyfully. 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. They won't need me. I'll be out of a job. I'm a security guard. They won't need no security guards, right? 25. For there shall be no night there. Always shining bright. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. We'll meet every one of them. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the queen. That's the bride. That's the wife, you and me. 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know the two that are in the celestial city that we're with? Yeah, that one. And it's a water of life. Look at it. In the midst of the street of it and on the either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Not of the New Jerusalem. We don't need those leaves and we don't need that water. We're glorified forever. But somebody on the new earth needs access to it. 3. And there shall be no more curse.
I love that part. No more devil! No more demons harassing you. No more sin. No more curse.
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Property of Jesus Christ. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Church, I'm here to tell you tonight that the eternal abode of the bride is nothing but glorious.
Oh, what a future we have. What a future we have. How can we be bitter and discouraged and just nasty? We need to cheer up and realize heaven is our home.
Now, in closing tonight, church, here we clearly see the absolute necessity of maintaining the biblical distinction between Israel as the wife of Yahweh and the church as the bride of Messiah as two separate entities. One, the elect nation. The other, the elect bride.
Clearly, we have seen over the past 5 weeks that they are not spelt the same. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for our studies in the wife of Yahweh and the bride of Messiah. Lord, I am really, really grateful tonight that I was born when I was born. Because, Lord, we are on the brink of eternity right now. We are listening and waiting for the sound of the trumpet.
Lord, we're so grateful that we will soon and very soon see the King as we're raptured out of this dark, evil, filthy world. We're so grateful for that tonight, Lord. We are the bride of Messiah. We are the church, the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do. We love you with all of our hearts and souls tonight. And Lord, we pray, come quickly. Lord Jesus, fulfill every prophecy of Scripture. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to see it all because we belong to thee. One last thing, Lord.
Most of all, I am thankful for the fact that in glory above, in that celestial city, with the King of Kings, we each shall bear your name in our foreheads forever. That means the devil can't touch us. That means the world can't have us. That means the flesh can't mess us up. That means sin has no power over us because we are property of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. We love you and we thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, let's grab our hymnals. We'll finish with, yes, Tim?
I was wondering, what's the importance with the forehead? Satan has a mark on your forehead or your right hand.
Oh, yeah.
And God has his mark on your forehead. What's the importance of that?
The importance of that is the fact that it will show our eternal ownership by Jesus Christ.
So it's like branding.
You know, yeah, it's like a brand. That's right. On cattle, they brand them. So it's my property. Don't touch. That's right, Tim. And you know, one of the things that I find a lot of Christians don't understand, when he says he hath purchased the church with his own blood, he means he purchased us. He owned, literally, eternally owns us. I'm glad of that, because that means the devil can't have me. Amen? Glory to God. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, for a closing hymn tonight. We'll go to 270. 270 says it all. We'll stand, and we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. And then we'll hit the roads and face the snows again. Oh, man, it just never ends out there. I tell you. All right, hymn 270. Sing it to the Lord.
Still saves. What a blessing. We'll have Brother Kyle dismiss us in prayer tonight. And don't forget, Wednesday night, I understand we're supposed to get an ice storm Wednesday, wouldn't you know it? But we will be meeting at 7 o'clock, Lord willing. And have a great week, everybody, and we look forward to seeing you midweek. Brother Kyle?
Lord, we thank you for the word you've given us this evening. Lord, we thank you for the study you've given us. It's always a pleasure and a joy, Lord, to delve into your word, to find the meanings that are hidden there in the messages you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that we have the preacher you've given us to help us understand this, to bring this to our light for us, Lord, and to help clear up some of the mysteries of your word as we don't always understand it clearly. We ask you, Lord, to keep it at forefront in our minds, to keep us constantly looking for all the little hidden meanings that are in the Bible that bring to us the absolute truths that are written in your word. As we depart from here this evening, we pray that you'd give us traveling mercies, Lord. See us all home safely. See us throughout our week as we go, Lord, and weather permitting, and be it your will, Lord, that you'd see us back here Wednesday evening. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.